Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling from Wilsonville, Oregon. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book. We are on page 12, paragraph 1, begins with despite the living example and ends with men who felt the same way. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Stephanie L., the 12 Traditions, Kelly F., the readers of the text and support today, Wendy B., John K., and Kathy Jo P. The share ID number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12618, 12,618, and that would be for Monday, March 4th, 2019. And then today, we had a meeting already this morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. That share ID number is 12621, 12,621. That's Tuesday, March 5th, 2019. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And the vision for your big book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie L. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Southern California. 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. I will now ask Kelly F. to read the 12 traditions. Press star 1, please.
Good morning. This is Kelly F., compulsive overeater from Southern California, calling from Central California today. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you very much, Kelly F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us, identifies compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And this refers to please pressing star 1 on your phone keypad so that it doesn't interfere with technology rather than just your own handheld phone mute device. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 12, which would be still in Bill's story, the top first paragraph. We're going to unpack single paragraph today. Despite the living example of my friend, and ends with men who felt the same way. And I will ask Wendy B. to open us up by reading that paragraph and sharing her experience with us. Hi, good morning.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. On page 12, first paragraph, despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the vestiges of my old prejudice. The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. I didn't like the idea. I could go for such concepts as creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature, but I resisted the thought of a Caesar of heaven, however loving his sway may be. I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way. And so for me, where it said, you know, there remains in me vestiges or traces of my old prejudice, traces of my old prejudice was a deep down feeling that God was separate from me, you know, not deep inside me, like the Big Book says, you know, and he was outside, unreachable, watching me suffer, you know, and he was saying words like, well, I'm right here, I love you, but I couldn't feel him, you know, and when it says here the word God still aroused a certain antipathy, which means distaste, for me, you know, it aroused doubt and uncertainty, you know, so when it says there might be a God personal to me, I believed it intellectually, but not deep down in my inner self, you know, and I recently had a spiritual experience, you know, while I was listening to a special edition, while I was waking up one morning, and God showed me that, that lie, you know, that I was believing all my life, that I was separated from God, you know, and when the truth is, he is inside of me. He's feeling my pain. He's going through everything with me. You know, and the Bible says, you know, nothing can separate me from God. So now the words, you know, in the special edition that I was listening to, she was saying, you know, whenever I'm feeling insecure, I go within to find security. And I believe and embrace those words. You know, I have a deep down security and faith and awareness that he's entwined with me, you know, sharing my body. And I get to yield to him, taking the lead, you know, in this dance of life. And there's another verse I was just reading this morning that said, for in him we live and move and have our being. And this is a beautiful thing that God is offering us, this awareness. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Paragraph 1, page 12, from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill's story. It's now open for additional folks to comment on that paragraph.
Reggie,
Jackie H.
Beatrice.
Reggie and John and Jackie.
Jackie H.
And Beatrice. Gotcha.
Chrissy Jane.
Pam M.
Chrissy Jane and Pam, did I hear? Pam M.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I got. Excellent. Beautiful. Let me read that back. I have Reggie O., John K., Jackie H., Beatrice O., Chrissy Jane K., and Pam M. Hey, Reggie. You're up.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. And thanks so much for your service. This is Reggie O. Outside Los Angeles, and very gratefully recovered this morning. And boy, this reading, why, I just took my breath. I could hardly breathe, really, when I pressed star one. And it was, I saw something in here that I had never seen before. You know, and going to that God personal to me, it was like Bill was saying, it's okay, you know, I can get that there's this, you know, this great intelligence in the universe, you know, and all of that. And it struck me, yeah, that's true. That's all very, you know, it's all this intellectual outside me, you know, the God personal to me, you know, and as the reader said, you know, the great reality lies deep within us, as Bill speaks about later on. And that brings up, you know, like one of the biggest challenges that I have had, and that is intimacy. You know, if that God is deep within me, you know, and if that's where I go, which I do, and sometimes that's through other people, but that God is deep within me. And I have had, like, for even, you know, when I first came into vision, in August of 2016, I remember, you know, trying to pray, and my prayers would always be so self-conscious. I just could, it was so hard to open up and just let myself be with God, you know, and let God be with me. There was this wall, and you know, it's one of my greatest fears of intimacy. That's been on several of my fourth step inventories. And but you know, it's like, I think that's the breathtaking, you know, it really is a whole other level of a relationship for me with God. And I think it speaks for me of that transformation that, you know, that I am feeling, and that we all get to, I believe, experience as we go through these steps. And that is from the head to the heart, you know, and that most that greatest distance of journeys. And and boy, oh boy, it's a breathtaking, wonderful, amazing journey. And so I totally get this, and get it from a whole new perspective this morning. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you very much, Reggio. John K., it's your turn. Then Jackie will come in after you.
Good morning. John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. You know, there's three little things that popped out of me in this paragraph. First was the word prejudice. You know, I came in as an atheist, or called myself an atheist. I think I was actually an agnostic. I always find it funny when, you know, say to a person who says he's an atheist, you know, I'd love to be an atheist, I just don't have that kind of faith, you know, because what I always learned was an atheist says there is no God, and an agnostic says, well, I don't know. And what I've always said to atheists is, okay, prove there is no God. And, of course, they want to say, well, prove there is. But I said, no, answer my question first. And, of course, they can't, because it takes faith to be an atheist. But the other thing is the prejudice of the religion I was given. You know, I was given a religion, I was told, this is what it is, take it or leave it. And I had to learn, I didn't have to believe in that hand-me-down God I was given, as it did, you know. And then antipathy, well, you know, I came in saying, well, how can there be a God if there's a Holocaust? How can there be a God if there's all these evil things, you know? I mean, I look back and go, God, how arrogant of me, you know? It's like I'm going to show up with a pen and a pad and say, okay, God, I'll believe in you as soon as you answer these following questions, you know, like it's an interview, you know? And, you know, and with these questions, who knows? Maybe there is no answer. Maybe it's just man has free will and people abuse it. Or maybe there is an answer to these questions, but my puny brain just can't grasp that big picture, you know? And it's funny, today I don't spend a lot of time thinking about what my higher power is anymore. When I first came in, it really was important. Now I realize I don't need to do that, you know? I just have to just believe, you know, God is or he isn't. And then when it talks about personal to me, you know, I've known priests, ministers, rabbis, nuns, you know, in this program. And if it was simply a matter of that conscious contact with a higher power, they would never have had to come here. But they didn't believe in a God personal to them that could help them with their problem. I think most of them, you know, that I've talked to said they felt it was like almost demeaning to their concept of a God to want God to help them with their food problem, you know. And I used to be sort of that way too. I'd be like, oh, God's got better things to do than, you know, help me not eat a Twinkie, you know. You know, it's like if God helped me not eat a Twinkie, somehow it was keeping him from stopping a war over there or something, you know. I mean, I'm dumb, you know. I mean, heck, I can do more than one thing at once. Why can't I believe in an infinite power that can do even more, you know? God's the ultimate multitasker, you know. And so today, I don't know, I've just gotten off the thing of having to have a deep understanding of it. I have gotten off the thing of having to have it explained to me, you know, and I've just come to, like I say a lot of times, I don't need to believe in a higher power. I just need to believe that a higher power believes in me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, John K. Jackie H., you're up. Beatrice O. will come after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Wow. I've just had so many things happen here to me in the last few weeks, and this little paragraph is pretty cool. When I came in 11 years ago to 12-step, not in this program, in another program, I did come in with a lot of prejudices. I came in with a story that I was so wounded from Christianity and so wounded from religious. I just had a whole story built around that. And it was a little armor around me so that I could have some kind of excuse not to believe in God. And I sure didn't like that word God, that's for sure. And for a long time, I couldn't say it. I can say it today. And you know what? Today, I don't have to figure out what God is or who God is. I just know there is a power greater than me. There is a God, and it's not me, as I've heard other people say in this program. And as far as personal to me, well, I was a pastor's wife, and I was one of these people that didn't help me, right? Or else I wouldn't have come in years ago into AA or now here in OA, because I didn't have a personal relationship with God. And today, as a result, I really do believe it's a result of this 12-step program, as well as my other spiritual programs that I embrace. I do have a personal relationship. You know, I tried for the longest time to, you know, what I get is that as long as I identify with this ego of mine, I am going to be self-loathing. I'm going to reach outside of myself to try to find something to soothe me. I'm going to do everything I can, because if I'm identifying with this ego, it's small. And it doesn't play big, and it tells me that I'm bad, and it tells me that I can't do things, or it tells me I'm better. It's certainly not right-sized. So I had to come, and it's honestly just been of late, after having done this program, that I realize I am not the author of my life. I've tried to be for many years, and I resign. And sometimes I have to resign many times a day. But when I really can, I've been misidentifying with myself. I've been thinking I was this small ego who was trapped in all of these addictions and that I couldn't get out. And just recently, I'm realizing that I'm not. I am really, really a child of God, and that I am in my wholeness, I am perfect, whole, and complete. Now, I forget that. I forget that many times during the day. Thank you. But for this moment, right here, I am so grateful that I do have a power greater than myself, that I can call the author of my life, not Jackie Sue. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie Sue. Beatrice, oh, you're up. And then Chrissy Gang will follow you.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. from Los Gatos, a recovered compulsive overeater. Can I be heard?
Betcha. I'll let you know.
Great. Okay. So I really like this paragraph because it talks about his old prejudices. So when I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I felt like God was never there for me, and this world was crazy, and how could he help me? But I know what I know today is God, when I'm compulsively overeating and when I'm really super busy and I'm doing life, I don't feel God's presence. The spiritual God has always been with me. And when I'm compulsively overeating, there's a separation. And food separates me from God. When I'm eating, I feel that self-destruction. I feel that bankruptcy. And the other thing that I always blamed God for was my choices. I've made a lot of wrong choices in my life, and I've suffered the consequences. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, but all the time, I've asked for forgiveness. I've made amends throughout my life. And just because I have a higher power doesn't mean that I am not going to suffer the consequences of my choices. And I can't blame that on God, because I blamed all my unhappiness on my higher power. So today I feel grateful. And those prejudices that I had about God and the world have melted away. And I can feel that Holy Spirit, because that Holy Spirit for me is pure, and evil and darkness, you know, darkness and light can't reside in the same room. And that's the way I feel about my spirit within me. I can't act out my character defects and run amok and expect God and expect to feel God. Anyway, so that's why we have to clean house and trust God. And thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Chrissy Jane K., it's your turn. And then Pam will come in after you.
This is Chrissy Jane K., a compulsive overeater. The worldly God, I feel, has roles, because I don't want to go to jail. And when I'm God, I've got to have a lot of roles, because I worship the food God. I want to eat. I don't want to eat. I can't eat this. I can't eat that. That's a diet. I need lots of rolls so that I can break the rolls. Then I can feel bad about myself. That gives me a reason to eat. I'm nervous. I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Look at the other. Look what others are doing. What I expect I get reasons to eat. Look at others that are doing what I expect, so I get reasons to eat. I don't see my real problems of laziness, so I try to get others to do my work. I get an attitude of being better than you are and do more than my part to be lazy later. So I have this big giant cannonball inside of me that it's empty. So I try to fill it with sugar food. God, that word embarrasses me terribly, and I cringe inside. The first time I was told that God was my friend had upset me so much, and I wrote it down on a post-it note and stuck it in my kitchen. And I read it every day over and over, and it became more comfortable as time went on so that I could talk about it. Now I do God's will. I don't need so many rules. I take my life as it comes. I don't compare my work to other people's work. I don't compare my abstinence to other people's abstinence. I don't compare my weight loss. I don't compare how many days or years that I'm in the program. I don't look at yesterday. I don't look at tomorrow. I live it right now in the moment. I enjoy the sunshine. I enjoy the people. The people around me, and I pray for the people having a bad day. Somebody passing me in my wheelchair and cutting me off, maybe he's rushing to the hospital because somebody's sick. I see myself as God's slave, doing what I need within his will. I do need a date book, but not the endless list of things to do. God is everything, or he is nothing. Like this book of Dr. and Max, the life. I pass.
Thank you, Chrissy Jane K. Before we open it up for Pam M. to share her comments and experience on this paragraph, I would like folks to know that we are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Bill's story, page 12, and we are focusing our study today on paragraph 1, which says, despite the living example of my friend, and that paragraph ends with men who felt the same way. If you want to get ready to comment on that after Pam is get ready for that. And in the meantime, what we're going to do now is have Pam give her experience, strength, and hope. Hello, Pam. It's your turn.
Hi, Pam M. from recovering from compulsive overeating in upstate New York. boy, was I discriminating against God and that word God. I would sit in my face-to-face meeting, and when the word God came up, my shoulders would grow up to my ears. I'd cross my arms. I'd get a pit in my stomach, and I would just wait for that God part to be over. and this is from someone who, in my area, people refer to me as a spiritual teacher. And my friends say to me, you know, Pam, you're the one that taught me about spirituality. But I had such a prejudice against that word coming from, having religious history and having really negative experiences, which what I identified with as being the church, which it wasn't. It was other people's opinions about what God is and other people's opinions of what God wanted me to be. And it had absolutely nothing to do with this personal God that I'm learning to experience and feel deeply in my heart. I would spend, hours, meditating, but I never felt that personal experience of God. I would feel this connection to this very large connection to the whole and be able to experience these deep states of peace in meditation, but it never occurred to me to actually have a conversation with God, to have a conversation with my higher power and surrender and ask God what I need. And this is what's keeping me from eating. I'm coming back from relapse right now. It's been thanks be to God 6 weeks of abstinent eating and learning how to surrender deeper and deeper to my higher power. And I just love this program because Bill just opens it up for us and allows us to believe whatever we need to believe so that these steps can work. Because if we don't get this God part, we're not going to get the rest of the steps. And I'm so grateful for my relapse, because if I didn't have my relapse, I wouldn't be able to do this over again and really get it this time and work these steps from a place of surrender. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Pam M. Okay, so we're going to open up lines for a few more people to comment on paragraph 1, page 12. Would like to comment their experience.
Clara G.
Clara, hi.
Mary M.
Hi, Mary.
Jasmine E.
Jasmine, hi.
Mo,
I was just because I'm pausing for a couple of more. Sarit, hi. Mo, hi.
Hi.
Okay, let's go with that in the interest of saving those times. Julie EB, I gotcha. Gotcha there. Okay, Clara, Mary, Jasmine, Mo, Sarit, and Julie EB. Good morning again, Clara. You're up, and Mary will come after you.
Okay, thank you. I liked the idea when I came into step two that I had to see what was my concept of God and then see if that concept was working for me. So I had the concept that God was this being in the universe very far away, and he was in command of the whole universe. And so I am like this minute little thing in the universe. So what would he care for me, and how much attention would he give me? And to get in touch with him, I had to like super concentrate and to try to get to him telepathically. And it was a total useless concept, because that idea of that I had of God wasn't going to work for me into stopping me from eating compulsively. So since here it's like I can create my own idea, or I can figure out really like what I really believe, not from what other people have told me, but from my own instinct, you know, like what do I really believe is God? And so I came up with the new concept, a God that is here with me, right next to me, and also had to be wanting the best for me and for everybody else. It had to be a good God, because if I was going to turn my will and my life to him, I had to think that this power, this God, had to be good, because otherwise I wouldn't do that. You know, I couldn't turn my life to a God that I think is going to punish me. I had to believe that the God understood me better than I understood myself. He loved me more than I love myself. He loves my children more than I love my children. I had to be like a super concept that it would work for me when I get to step three. And so I changed it. I went through and deliberately thought, okay, well, the God that I believe is everywhere, but is right here with me, in me, next to me, and is a good God and has power and also has power. And he is willing to help me do his will for me, which is the best for me, you know. And so, I went with that. And that cleanup of my concept of God really has worked for me. And once in a while, too, I have to go and reshape that, because I forget that this God, my creation, you know, my own personal God, has power to help me, you know. And so I have to go.
Time.
Okay, thank you. I pass.
Oh, always be sure and finish your thought. That's certainly.
Oh, okay. So, I just I go to make sure that my idea of God is a God that has the power to help me. And, yeah, that was at our best. Thank you.
Thank you, Clara. That's Clara G. Mary M., you're up, and then Jasmine E. will come in after you.
Hi, good morning. Mary M. from Connecticut. I love this teaching. I'm actually working on my seventh step and been in program for 3 months. So I'm so grateful of what I'm learning. I've been in the rooms of OA and other food addiction programs, 12-step programs for 20 years. I'm 55, and I am just now getting that this is a spiritual program. I came in with a lot of prejudice, and I can see that now. I thought that I knew I had a personal God to me, but as I reflect back, what I had was I had put my faith and my belief, and my God was my church, it was my fellowship, it was the ministries that I was involved in. It was, I was really, and I could also see that my religion, although I was, I thought I was being zealous and on fire and doing things for God, I was so far from God in the sense that I was working to get in heaven, afraid of hell, and realized how much my religion really was fear-based. I had a lot of fear of God, and so much fear that I wouldn't allow myself to develop a new concept of God. I almost felt like that was sacrilege, that would just, what do you mean, my own concept of God, how could I? And so having the freedom to think about God in a new way, to experience God personal to me, has been such a blessing, has been such a spiritual awakening. My sponsor always says, you know, be awake, alert, and aware. And as I've had and starting to have that spiritual awakening, I am awake, awake, alert, and aware as I continue to seek God and get to know God, the God of my understanding. So I'm just so grateful. Someone also said in the morning meeting, she said, you know, that she too thought that she had a personal relationship with God, but realized that it was a God handed down to her. And just having that concept, I kept saying, oh my gosh, that tastes so good. You know, I also just feel like these meetings and the big book tastes good to me. You know, it fills me up when I am hearing new revelation about God and new understanding of God and a willingness and an openness that I never allowed myself to be open because I was so fearful that I was going to hell, fearful that I wouldn't make it into heaven. So I just wanted to say grateful for the fellowship, and thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mary M. Jasmine E., it's your turn now, and then Mo will come in after you.
Good morning. This is Jasmine E., a compulsive overeater from Northern California. This paragraph is it rings very true to me. My whole life, I've been surrounded by people who are in other 12-step programs, and I watched them and heard them talk about their higher power, and it just pissed me off, honestly. It did. I didn't understand how they could have a connection with something bigger than themselves, especially when my family had suffered so much tragedy. But when I came into the program a few months ago, I got on my knees and I said, look, I'm really angry with you, God. I'm pissed off, and I think you did kind of a lousy job, but I'm willing to at least start talking to you. And from there, the more I practice it, the easier it gets, and the more my anger disappears. And so I am so grateful that God even gave me the willingness to start communicating again, or really for the first time. And so grateful for this program. I knew I needed to be here, you know, since I could remember, honestly. And thank you to everyone, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jasmine. E, Mo H, it's your turn, and then Sarit will follow you.
Okay. Good morning. Mo H, recovered compulsive overeater, living in Walnut Creek, California. Thank you, Melanie, for your service and all those on the line. Thank you for all these shares. Oh, God, I love it, love it, love it. So here we see Bill starting, a little crack is opening in the door, starting to see something. Here, his friend, the, you know, his friend sat there before him, you know, bright-eyed and glowing face. And the vestiges of his old prejudices, you know, still remained in him. Those are old ideas. And when I first came into the room, yes, I still had my old ideas, and I kind of skipped over steps 2 and 3, so that made it difficult for me to be abstinent along the way. And down at the bottom, I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way, and I thought when I read that, that gives hope to people who are struggling with a concept of God. And I came in, and I was struggling with my concept of God. It was my childhood concept, and I was told to unchoose my early conception of God that I was given and to allow another one to come forth. And that's exactly what happened for me, that the God of my childhood worked then. I wasn't angry at that God, but I needed a new God. And I was floundering when I first came into the rooms trying to find something that would work for me, but I just was struggling with it. God today, as the book says, is inside of me. And I lean on God all the time, and I heard on Sunday's edition was, you know, lean into God, and I'm leaning into God all the time. And, you know, recently having been through some difficulties, I just used God the whole time to get through. Every step of the way was, God, guide me. God, please guide me. God, show me. And it's a miracle that things just seem to work out when I step back and allow God's space to be there. And when I'm into the food, when I'm into my stuff, when I'm into the busies, God is I'm not connected. You know, God is always there, but I am not connected. It's my job to stay connected. God is always present with me. I think that's all I have to say. I'll pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, Mo H. So Reed L., you're up, and then Julie E.B. will come in after you.
Hello, it's Reed L.
Hi.
Okay, I'm just getting away from my little baby. Hi, everyone, it's Reed L., recovering compulsive overeater. And this topic is just such a beautiful topic because I spent so many years being analytical and trying to figure out who he is and who he should be and why he's not that for me, and really spending so much time and so many conversations that it's really a waste of time. It's a waste of time, I realize. And someone did share that on the morning meeting about how if God is you know, small enough for me to understand, he's not big enough for me to help me. And that rings true for me because when I first came into these rooms, I was believing in everyone else's God. And I was hearing the miracles on the phone lines through each and every one of you. And that's what kept me coming back. And so God has to be big enough to help you and you and you and me. But I had to stop analyzing because at the end of the day, I've learned that I don't have to search. God finds me. I can't let the God idea stop me from finding my higher power. And that's what I want to tell the newcomers today is don't let that God idea stop you from finding your higher power because he ends up finding you if we do the work. And that's what I'm learning this time around through going through the steps, through step 6 and 7 especially, and 8 and 9 and being of service. I am stopping and pausing throughout the day and labeling my defects of character, handing them over to God, acting as if, and God is using me to be of service to other people today through these once defects that are now, you know, an asset. And that blows my mind because that's not me, that's God. That is completely God. I know who I was, and God is changing me. So through doing this work, I'm finding my higher power. And that's the hope that there is. Everyone can have that too. Thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Sarit L. Julie E.B., it's your turn.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered one day at a time in Colorado. And for me, the vestiges of my old prejudice, the leftovers of my old preconceived ideas were conceived of when I was quite young, that I wasn't very important, that I was invisible, that I was never good enough. These became the voices of what I like to call my lower power. These old prejudices were, you know, how could the God of the universe take care of me? You know, I got a degree in God, I got a profession in God, and still, even though I had a God for everyone else that was gracious and merciful, for me, I was never enough. And so, you know, maybe if I got to my goal weight or took care of my problems, then I'd be good enough for God. So even though I was, and I encounter this all the time in myself and in people that I'm working with, it's like, oh, I got into the food. You know what? I'm going to wait 3 days till I'm out of the food again to reach out to someone else. And it's almost a statement of this old prejudice that I got to do this on my own. And if I do this on my own, then maybe I'm okay to appear before a God or before one of you. But what I've learned is that's all upside down and backwards in this program. In this program, I show my brokenness. I show my defects each time I do a 10-step all day long. And so there doesn't need to be an antipathy, a kind of a cringing when I hear the word God. If God loves my brokenness, if God loved me when I was in the food, one of the strongest images I have for that is my three children who challenge me every day as they are teenagers. But they loved me at every size, every size. Every crazy. I mean, could I let them love me? Not very well. Did I hide in my room? Yes, I did. Did I reach out with at them with intemperance and anger when life didn't treat me right or everything didn't go well? Yes, I did. But they continued to love me and our relationships continued to heal. This is the God personal to me, the God who loves me when I don't feel good, when I'm not doing right, the God I'm willing to have all of me, good and bad. So please, just if you're starting, just keep hanging on and hang on for the God who loves you in the food and out of the food and doesn't need to wait for you to get it. If we wait until we get God or get the universe or get how other people act or get ourselves perfect, it's not ever going to come. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie E.B. There is time for one more, possibly up to 2 minutes share if someone would like to take that before we close this recorded portion of our meeting.
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
My name is Barbara.
Your name, please?
Barbara. Hi, I'm down here in Savannah, Georgia, and I really appreciate the shares because God was, I have, in my religion, well, the religion that I was brought up in, they speak of God's Son of Jesus, and that gets sometimes confusing to me because I can't understand deep down a prejudice against the whole thing of the crucifixion, and he gave his only beloved son. So with that said, I go to that when things are not working for me. And and right now I'm having I've had health problems, and I saw that that's when I began to slip in my program. And bringing us up to this day, and I got from the conversation a personal God to me, and I said, what happened to the personal conversations I used to have when I was trying to find a higher power many years ago in another program? There was like a best friend. And so with the conversation is that I realize I'm willing to start speaking to him because he never left me. And it's like falling into that, picking up that conversation. That makes me feel secure. Thank you for letting me share.
You're welcome. Barbara, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
B as in Betty.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you. What a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much. And with Barbara's share, that takes us to the end of the recorded portion of our meeting. So what we're going to do here is thank everybody for sharing today on this particular paragraph. It was very, very enriching for me personally. And thanks to Team Tuesday for making this meeting possible that folks could come to in this kind of capacity with this kind of recovery. I'm very grateful. So we're going to close now this portion, and please stay with us as we move over then into the last part of our meeting after this is closed, with reading from the big book on page 164, and then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer. John Kay, would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I certainly will. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.